of Deuteronomy chapter 8 in the scripture reading, interestingly enough, it talks about testing. Yahweh allowed the people to wander in the wilderness, to test them, to see where their hearts and their minds were. And regrettably, they tested Yahweh many times, and eventually he had had enough. I think one of the hardest tests for us today may be waiting upon Yahweh. We may get a better sense of this as we get to the end, but I think we may sometimes feel like Habakkuk, who saw all the evils happening in his day, but perceived that Yahweh seemed to be doing nothing about it. If you would turn to Habakkuk chapter 1, and we'll start in verse 2. Habakkuk 1, verse 2. How long, O Yahweh, will I call for help, and you will not hear? I cry out to you, violence, yet you do not save. Why do you make me see iniquity and cause me to look on wickedness? Yes, destruction and violence are before me. Strife exists and contentions arise. Therefore, the law is ignored and justice is never upheld. For the wicked surround the righteous. Therefore, justice comes out perverted. He seemed a little distraught. And I think as we see things today, we're a little distraught. Today we see perversions and violence and a doing away of Yahweh's law in society and even in religious circles. It makes us wonder sometimes why. Why would Yahweh allow things like this to happen? Why is it allowed to go on for so long? Why aren't we seeing miraculous signs today? Why isn't Yahweh punishing the wicked for their wickedness? These are reasonable questions. And sometimes we go before Yahweh and ask, just like Habakkuk. Well, here is Yahweh's answer to Habakkuk, and I believe a proper answer to our question today. Habakkuk 1, verse 5. I have to make a note of that. Look among the nations, observe, be astonished, wonder, because I am doing something in your days you would not believe if you were told. The following verses are details on how Babylon was going to come in and take Judah captive, which happened as prophesied. Habakkuk had further questions, which Yahweh addressed with reassurance. In Habakkuk 2, going down to verses 2 and 3, we read, Then Yahweh answered me and said, Record the prophecy and inscribe it on tablets, that the one who reads it may run. Some scholars believe that this is basically saying, basically write it plainly so that it can be read quickly. In verse 3 it says, For the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hastens towards the goal, and it will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it will certainly come. It will not delay. And we read of prophecies relating to the tribulation, day of Yahweh, and other areas of Scripture before. And while we may have why questions today similar to Habakkuk's, we can take Yahweh's responses to Habakkuk and relate it to our own time as we see the end of days approaching. We know Yahweh is going to keep his promises. And even though we may feel like we're sometimes going to faint waiting for them to take place. It's interesting that Yahweh tells Habakkuk in verse 4 that the righteous will live by his faith while the proud are not right within themselves. Zephaniah 3, verse 8. What are we told? What does Yahweh tell us to do? Zephaniah 3:8. Therefore, wait for me, declares Yahweh. For the day when I rise up as a witness, indeed, my decision is to gather nations, to assemble kingdoms, to pour out on them my indignation, all my burning anger, for all the earth will be devoured by fire of my zeal. Again, Yahweh says to wait for him. Wait for him to accomplish his will. Wait for him to work things out. Wait for him who holds everything in his hands and knows the end from the beginning. So who is it that will wait for him? In Zephaniah, going down further to verse 12, this is who is going to wait for Yahweh. I will leave among you a humble and lowly people, and they will take refuge in the name of Yahweh. The remnant of Israel will do no wrong and tell no lies, nor will a deceitful tongue be found in their mouths. For they will feed and lie down with no one to make them tremble. Shout for joy, O daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. Yahweh has taken away his judgments against you. He has cleared away your enemies. The King of Israel, Yahweh, is in your midst. And no doubt this is prophecy for the coming kingdom. You will fear disaster no more. In that day it will be said to Jerusalem, do not be afraid, O Zion. Do not let your hands fall limp. Remember what I said about fainting? Sometimes we feel like fainting. Yahweh, your Elohim, is in your midst, a victorious warrior. He will exult over you with joy. He will be quiet in his love. Have you ever really felt love before? There's a quiet, engulfing aspect of that that's quite enjoyable. In verse 18, it says, I will gather those who grieve without the appointed or about the appointed feast. They came from you, O Zion. The reproach of exile is a burden on them. Behold, I am going to deal at that time with all of your oppressors. I will save the lame and gather the outcast, and I will turn their shame into praise and renown in all of the earth. At that time, I will bring you in. Even at that time, when I gather you together, indeed, I will give you renown and praise among the peoples of all the earth. When I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says Yahweh. Now it is those who will submit to Yahweh, we find here, who will wait for him. It is those that call upon his name who will be saved. I think we find this confirmed in Scripture. It's interesting that those who grieve over the appointed feasts will be gathered. Now evidently this is an allusion to the time of Habakkuk and the exile to Babylon when the feasts were actually corrupted. While the feasts today are not necessarily corrupted, there is grief in that so few observe and keep these times. They don't keep them. Yet this is a commandment of Yahweh. And it's grievous when we see so few come. It's disheartening at times. And yet, even though it's grievous to know people are not planning to attend the holy convocations, alternatively, there is joy knowing that there are those few who are. And I guess you could say we have mixed feelings about it all, but, you know, while we wait, we are to have faith that Yahweh will work all these things out, even as he has promised. One of those things we've read in verse 20, at that time I will bring you out, even at the time when I gather you together, indeed I will give you renown and praise among all the peoples of the earth when I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says Yahweh. Someone who had faith and waited for Yahweh is, of course, King David. Let's turn over to Psalms chapter 25. We'll read a little bit, verses 1 through 5. Psalm 25, verses 1 through 5. I do thank Yahweh for the message today because I woke up extra early and I just had enough time to put the message together, a little extra time to enjoy the Sabbath as well. But I'm grateful because, it's not always easy to, put words on paper and have it ready for today. But Psalms 25, verses 1 through 5, to you, O Yahweh, I lift up my soul. O my Eloah, in you I trust. Do not let me be ashamed. Do not let my enemies exult over me. Indeed, none of those who wait for you will be ashamed. Those who deal treacherously without cause will be ashamed. Make me know your ways, O Yahweh. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the Eloah of my salvation. For you I wait all the day. It says, none who wait for you will be ashamed. And this is certainly an incentive to continue waiting patiently. And indeed, we need endurance. He says, "For you I wait all the day." This is similar to the idea of praying all day. It's the attitude of prayer, in this case, it's the attitude of expectation. Expectation of answered prayer, expectation of intervention and protection, expectation of good things to come, even though we know we will go through a time of tribulation beforehand, if we're alive for that. And then there's daily tribulation troubles that we go through. Even Yahshua said, you know, today has enough troubles of its own, you know, just deal with those things, tomorrow will worry about itself. If you would, turn over to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, starting there in verse 25. As Yahweh's Spirit was on King David, it also came upon a man named Simeon. And it's interesting to read the account. We read of Anna the prophetess, who was in the temple and was there day and night. You know, you almost get transported when you go over scripture like this. You get transported back at that time, and you get a sense of what it was like for the people there, and the Spirit of Yahweh being active with them. Luke 2 and verse 25. There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen Yahweh's anointed one, Messiah. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Yahshua to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took him into his arms and blessed Yahweh and said, "Now, Sovereign, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel." And here's a man who's given prophetic insight and who waited to see Yahshua before he died. We too are given prophetic insight into what is coming concerning not only the future kingdom, but also the saints' role in that kingdom. Now, we are waiting for this to occur, but it may not happen in our lifetime. And again, it may. It's interesting to see the emphasis about Israel here also. Simeon must have had the promises concerning Israel in mind and was also waiting for them to be fulfilled. It does say he was looking for the consolation or the comforting of Israel. New Century Version says he was waiting for the time when Yahweh would take away Israel's sorrow. There's almost, going around in blindness for many of Israel at that time, even today. And the sorrow of that is of course, something that Yahweh is taking away from precious few at this time. There are some encouraging words throughout Scripture on and about waiting for Yahweh. Maybe you just sit back and listen to these. I'll just go through a few, but Psalms 25, verse 3 says, "Indeed, none of those who wait for you will be ashamed. Those who deal treacherously without cause will be ashamed." Psalm 37, verse 9, "For evildoers will be cut off, but those who wait for Yahweh, they will inherit the land." Isaiah 40 and verse 31, "Yet those who wait for Yahweh will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary." And there may be an end time prophecy ingrained here when it says those who wait for Yahweh will gain new strength, as those going through the tribulation will need his protection and strength in it. And I do think that's a bit of prophecy there. But Isaiah 25 verse 9 says, "And it will be said in that day, behold, this is our Eloah, for whom we have waited, for he might save us. This is Yahweh, for whom we have waited. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation." What a glorious time. But what are we doing right now? We're waiting. And we'll continue to wait. And hope. And pray. And work on ourselves, basically, and be prepared. Lamentations 3, 25 through 26. Yahweh is good to those who wait for Him, to the person who seeks Him. It is good that He waits silently for the salvation of Yahweh. And speaking of the salvation of Yahweh, or rather Yahweh's salvation, we know that Yahshua will return a second time in all power and glory. And we are also told to wait patiently for this to take place. Let's go to Luke chapter 12, starting in verse 36. Luke 12, verse 36. They say the heat index is supposed to be up around 115 today in St. Louis. We got a bit of rain last night. I suspect that that's adding to the heat index. I never heard of the heat index until I moved here, but I'm sure feeling it out there. But in here, it's nice and cool. I think the dehumidifiers that were brought in are a big plus. Take that moisture out of the air. Luke 12, verse 36. Be like men who are waiting for their master when he returns from the wedding feast, so that you may immediately open the door to him when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master will find on the alert when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will gird himself and have them recline at the table and will come up and wait on them, whether he comes in the second watch or even in the third and finds them doing so. Blessed are those servants. But be sure of this, verse 39, that if the head of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have allowed his house to be broken in. Verse 40, you too be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. Well, we're told to wait patiently, but we're also told to be ready. To be ready and alert means we don't slumber and sleep as the world does. But with open eyes, spiritual eyes, we look around and see what is happening and focus on Yahweh and what is expected of us. How are we to live? And what is important both for this life and the next? We need to continue to grow in understanding of Yahweh and His Son while we wait. And that can take on, it's multifaceted, the things that we can do, the things that we should be doing, thinking about, praying about. But let's go over to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, and it's interesting, we know that we're to grow in grace and knowledge of the Son, Yahshua, but as you may already know, the Aramaic version of that, which we believe is probably earlier than the Greek, and actually helps correct some of the Greek text, actually includes Yahweh, learning of Yahweh. And we know that they are two that we need to keep in the forefront of our minds, including their names. Matthew 25, and starting in verse 1. The kingdom of heaven will be comparable to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, 5 were prudent. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the prudent took oil in flasks along with their lamps. And while the bridegroom was delaying, they all got drowsy and began to sleep. But at midnight there was a shout, "Behold, the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the prudent, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the prudent answered, "No, there will not be enough for us and you too. Go instead to the dealers and buy some for yourself." And while they were going away to make purchase, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. Later the virgins also came, saying, "Master, Master, open up for us." But he answered, "Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Be on the alert then, for you do not know the day nor the hour." Now there's been some discussion as to whether or not this relates to the saints. It actually seems to be pointing more towards a physical people in the kingdom with the bride. They look to be the bridesmaids, not the bride. So there's a difference here. Now, could the oil mention be, understanding itself? That is, what do merchants sell today? What could we buy that would be of help? Understanding Yahweh's word, possibly? After all, could people, can't people, even us, buy biblical resources to study, to be, that are purchased? Do they help us to understand? In many respects, yes, especially when it comes to concordances and interlinears, these type of things. But I think the point is that those that were not ready were not preparing. They weren't studying. They didn't have a good understanding. And we find many today do not have a good understanding. They may be at the end of the age there, but basically asleep, having gone through the tribulation. It's hard to understand, just how this will work out, but I think we do have a little bit better understanding today than we did just a few years ago. It's interesting to note that the bride has made herself ready, as in the book of Revelation reveals, Revelation 19 and verse 7. Let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. The difference between the bridesmaid and the bride seems to be physical versus spiritual. While the bride is to be awake, it looks like all of the bridesmaids actually tired and slept. And we find other places in Scripture where it indicates the saints will actually grow in strength and alertness at the very end, but not the other way around. Before that, there is some tiring, but no sleeping, I don't think. In all of this, we are to wait upon Yahweh, look forward to his son's return, and the firm establishment of the kingdom. It may, however, be one of the hardest trials we'll ever face, going through this extended period of waiting, especially if the tribulation comes in our lifetime. Now, while waiting upon Yahweh, may he grant us the endurance, strength, and alertness needed to overcome the end.